Homage to Samantabhadra, homage to Bhadrasattva, homage to Padmasambhava, homage to our benevolent root guru, His Holiness Jamyan Luntuk Gelsen. And according to these auspicious arising causes, we will have a brief teaching. In summary, regarding the auspiciousness of great perfection and the lineage I've taught to everybody. With respect to the lineage, I think everybody is clear, and it was transmitted from Padmasambhava to Longchenpa to Jigme Lingpa, down to Patral Rinpoche, and down to His Holiness Lama Achuk Rinpoche, and so this lineage is very pure. The most important is that this Dharma is pure, and it being pure is that it has great blessing. And what do we mean by pure Dharma is that it comes from a pure lineage, and this is very important. And as a result of the practice and the purity of His Holiness Lama Achuk Rinpoche, we have his blessing, and through this we have this pure lineage. And the method to enable this blessing to manifest within our own mind streams is to follow the outer preliminaries, the inner preliminaries, to study, contemplate, and to practice. And don't confuse these practices. And this is very important. Very important also is the view, meditation, and conduct or action. And when we meet with this view of the great Dhammakaya, it is a very special state of realization. And then once recognizing the true nature of mind, we might have some hesitancies, doubts, on how to continue practicing. You might think, just that I've recognized the true nature of mind, is that good enough? No, it's not. In order to be able to attain Buddhahood, what we have to then be able to do is to support the true nature of mind. We may have found out for ourselves that we are able to recognize the true nature of mind. However, we are not able to support it. And in this case, we put all our experience and effort into supporting the true nature of mind. To be able to attain Buddhahood in this lifetime really depends on us being able to support the true nature of mind. Once we've recognized the true nature of mind, what pith instructions do we have to apply? What we have to do is support the true nature of mind. And when we're not able to support the true nature of mind, then what we do is we apply those pith instructions that Rinpoche has already given. When we find we're not able to support the true nature of mind, then we apply those pith instructions that we've received in the past. And these pith instructions will help us then to again support the true nature of mind. It might be that we have recognized, however, we find we can't support the true nature of mind. And that is why it is so important that we go into retreat. Because when we're in retreat, when we're on the mountains, we might find it is much easier to be able to support the true nature of mind. We might have found that when we are by the side of our guru, we don't have to try and support the true nature of mind. Just naturally, we abide in the true nature of mind. And this is the blessing of the guru and the lineage. However, when we leave this environment, maybe we go back to the cities, to the mainland, then we might find that it's very difficult to maintain the state of mind. Our mind becomes very restless. What do we do then? Then we apply these pith instructions. And the more stability we have with the pith instructions, we will find the more stability we have in being able to support the true nature of mind. And alternate with the pith instruction and abiding in the true nature of mind. And over here, many of you have recognized the true nature of mind. And then being able to support the true nature of mind is really going to depend on your diligence. And then when we're able to support the true nature of mind stably for a long time, then we really see that all of these material things are really delusory. And when we've been abiding in the true nature of mind for a long time, then we really see these delusory attachments, aversions, and ignorances of sentient beings that cause them so much discontent and suffering. And then in the true nature of mind, naturally we see the suffering, and it gives rise to natural compassion and kindness towards sentient beings. And then we reach the state of mind where day and night we really don't want to stop practicing. We really want to attain Buddhahood. And in wanting to attain Buddhahood, it's not possible that we can always be by the side of our guru. What is important is that we continue practicing diligently. Of course, it's wonderful when we meet our guru, and when we're not able to meet our guru, what we do is we carry on with our practice. And although we've recognized the true nature of mind, don't be confused with respect to cause and effect. Cause and effect is very, very important. Guru Rinpoche himself said, "Although my view is as vast as space, my care for cause and effect is as fine as flour." And what we can do, even although we've recognized the true nature of mind, we can practice the five preliminaries again. And you think, oh, still practice again the five preliminaries if I've recognized the true nature of mind? Patril Rinpoche practiced it 25 times. And so now if we practice the five preliminaries again, very naturally, the state of realization will just increase. And if we have the time, we can practice the five preliminaries again, and we can practice it again and again. And we really will find by doing this very easily, this state of our mind will improve. The coming together of empty arising causes. And what are these arising causes? This is the coming together of causes and conditions. And this comes about through practice and repentance. Repenting while practicing, and very quickly our practice will improve. And so don't confuse these very important aspects in terms of practice. Don't forget them. And don't forget cause and effect. It's very important. And when we can help sentient beings, including all of these insects and these little bugs, look at the suffering that they experience. And all of these sentient beings are the objects of our practice of compassion. And this includes our parents and our relatives, our nieces and nephews and children. Their lives are also very difficult. And this whole life they spend in the suffering, and then they are reborn into a new life and just carry on the suffering, and so it continues, life after life of suffering. And seeing all of the suffering of sentient beings, what can we do? The best is that first we practice and that we attain Buddhahood ourselves. And then after attaining Buddhahood, then we can be like these Buddhas and Bodhisattvas and really benefit many sentient beings. However, if we don't practice and we don't have compassion, then how are we going to benefit sentient beings? And so really, we must continue practicing diligently. And if it's the case that we haven't recognized the true nature of mind, then in terms of our practice, don't leave the essential points. Maintain virtuous actions and a virtuous mind. And any virtuous activities we engage in are going to increase this energy of ours and make it easier for us to be able to recognize the true nature of mind. We have this very rare and special opportunity. And if we don't increase our virtuous activities and these positive deeds, then even if we meet with the Dharma, even if we meet with an enlightened guru, it's going to be difficult for us to increase our state of mind. And then when you meet the guru, you won't ask or request for the Dharma. It will just be, oh, I know a very enlightened guru. And practice really is a very long-term commitment. We will do it for our whole life. This is not something that's going to take a year or two. Once we recognize the true nature of mind, then still we have a lot of karma and habits that are still present. And these negative karmas might arise, and then again, we are not able to recognize our true nature of mind. And this just shows us that we still have a lot of karma remaining from our previous actions. And what we can do then is recite the Sutra of Great Liberation. And this is really an excellent method for repenting our past negative actions. And this is very, very important. And so we can practice and recite. And in this way, with the practicing and reciting, our practice can improve more quickly. And then our belief, our faith, can increase. And then faith and practice go hand in hand. And when we have this great belief in our guru, then our mind is filled with a state of realization and compassion and bodhicitta.